As I've said, we come again this evening to the Gospel of John in the 8th chapter. And even as we come back to this chapter, I want to consider again tonight the 12th verse. Again, we bring the context of the Saviour's words before you as we did this morning. The backdrop is that of the temple during the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. And this feast was a memorial to the dwelling of the children of Israel in the tents in the wilderness, when the Lord brought them out of the land of Egypt and guided them through into the land of Canaan, the promised land. During this time, one of the ceremonies would involve the lighting of the two large candelabra, which would have shone into every corner of Jerusalem. And this light reminded the people of the presence of the Lord in the pillar of cloud and fire in the wilderness. To the horror and disgust of the Jews, the Lord Jesus Christ announces himself as the light of the world. Again, we read our text. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Tonight, I would like to consider what it means to walk in darkness, and by God's grace, to show the way of escape into the glorious light of Christ. Friends, we are all very much aware the longest day of the year has passed. Summer has quickly gone through, and the days are beginning to get shorter and shorter. And the reality is that as daylight is fleeting, so are our lives. For each one of us today are one day closer to eternity, one day nearer to eternity than we were this time yesterday evening. We might be sitting thinking, why is this man going to speak on darkness? Why is he going to speak on the shortness of life? Does he not have something good to talk about? My friend, it is only by considering the darkness of sin and the brevity of life that we can realize the need of the light of the Savior, Christ, who is the light of the world. And so this evening, I would like to consider that the dangers of darkness, and Christ, the light in a dark world. I want us to imagine a scenario similar to what we imagined this morning. I want us to picture perhaps out in Gosford Park here, during a dark, cloudy night, the moon is overcast by the clouds. Or you're walking along and the clouds come along and all of a sudden you're in darkness. You don't know where you are. You've no torch with you. The battery on your smartphone is flat so that you can't turn on the torch. And all of a sudden, from the moonlight being hid, you cannot see the hand before your face. There is simply no light to be found. And now as you wander aimlessly through the forest, you've forgotten which way you came. Nothing around you. You can't see anything that looks familiar, for it is so dark. And you find yourself lost. You take each careful step, and you're heading aimlessly around in circles in the midst of the darkness. With this darkness in mind, I want us to consider firstly that darkness is debilitating. Darkness is debilitating. Darkness, my friend, as you're all sure aware, relieves us of our senses. It causes our minds to wander. There is so much unknown in the darkness. That which seemed so natural in the light is now gone. Oh yes, we have done things without even thinking about them. And now, every little noise startles us. Every step is unsure. Or perhaps we're lying in our bed at night, and suddenly outside there is a loud bang. The lights go out. The mind starts to race. What has happened? Is there someone out there? Where do I find a torch? Do I stay in bed or do I wait? Do I get out? It's that dark that you cannot even see the edge of the bed, never mind the bedroom door. And all of a sudden, our whole world is overcome by fear and uncertainty. and all peace is lost. Friends, is this not exactly what happened to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? The Lord God made Adam and Eve in the light, and he gave them all things for their good. He gave them power over all things, and there was nothing for them to fear. But Satan, the great deceiver, came, and by deceit he ushered in darkness and fear into their lives. The freedom and liberty that they had known in the presence and the light of the Lord was now gone. Scripture describes the devil as the prince of darkness. And it was he who turned the joy that Adam and Eve enjoyed into the light, into the bondage of darkness and sin. We read in Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 to 11. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Adam hid himself in the shadows where he thought he could not be seen. He went from the light into the darkness. And that very first sin of Adam and Eve brought shame and fear. And my friend, let me tell you, your sin still brings to this day separation from God. Darkness of sin brings fear and superstition, and it separates us from Christ, the light of the world. Friend, sin debilitates our senses against the love of God and the good news of the gospel. My friend, can I ask you the question? Do you feel that your sin has separated you from God? Well, we have considered that sin is debilitating. The darkness debilitates us and how we think. But now I want to consider that the darkness that brings danger. Darkness brings danger. Darkness destroys our concept of direction and safety. Whether it is the darkness in the forest or in your own home, without light there is loss of direction. We cannot see where we're going. It is as if we were blind men fumbling about, lost. The Apostle Paul warns the Corinthians about blindness. This blindness is a spiritual blindness rather than physical. But the principle is the same. Writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, he writes, "In whom the god of this world, that being Satan the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them." My friend, Satan has blinded you. Oh, you're lost in the darkness of sin. Perhaps you have heard the message of the gospel time and time again. Perhaps you can quote the verses of Scripture. And yet, you still refuse to acknowledge that you are a sinner before a just and holy God. We often use the phrase, do we not, of someone who is making foolish choices. Oh, he needs to open his eyes. He's blinded by what's going on around him. My dear friend, are you blind to what's going on around you? Are you blind to the path that Satan is leading you? Well, there are many dangers along your path. Near misses, close shaves. Oh, there are others struggling around you without light. Oh, and yes, you can point out to all their problems and all their faults. And yet, in your blindness, you cannot see the dangers or read the signs before you. To go back to the analogy of the dark forest, perhaps lurking in the darkness somewhere there is a ravenous animal to which you are totally oblivious. Oh, so it is when you're out of Christ.
The Bible describes Satan as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour.
My friend, this evening Satan wants you to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Though you may be aware of the dangers because you have seen friends or loved ones go too far. But you say, preacher, that'll never happen to me. Oh, that'll never happen to me. I am in control of my life. You're blinded so much that you think you're the first one to say that. My friend, let me assure you tonight, with love and compassion, that sin will take you farther than you ever wanted to go. Well, how many people have said, preacher, a little later. A little later, preacher. I've plenty of time. It'll be okay. Oh, I just want to enjoy life a little longer. My friend, sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go. And someday God will pluck you out into eternity. And there you will be lost in the darkness of hell forever. Can I ask you the question? Whoever wished to go blind? Whoever wished to go blind? Do you, my friend, would you ever wish to go blind? And yet over 24,000 people were given a certificate of vision impairment last year in England and Wales alone, not counting Scotland and Northern Ireland, just England and Wales, 24,000. I'm sure none of them expected to go blind. And maybe you're saying, oh, I'm not blind. I know what I'm doing. Friend, tonight we pray that the Lord would open your eyes and that you would see your sinfulness before a just and a holy God. Oh, you're happy to be blinded by the lies of the devil, by your friends. You're happy to go on the way you're going. But friends, I also want us to consider that although darkness is debilitating, that it brings danger, the darkness also ends in disaster. Darkness ends in disaster. On November the 30th, 1991, fierce winds blew up a dust storm that triggered a massive freeway pileup in California. At least 14 people died and dozens more were injured as topsoil was whipped up by 50-mile-an-hour winds and visibility on that motorway was reduced in a sudden to zero. The afternoon accident left a 3-mile trail of twisted and burning vehicles, some stacked on top of one another, some more than 100 yards off the side of that motorway carriage. Unable to see their way, dozens of motorists drove blindly ahead into disaster. For those motorists, it was just another day. Going to or from work, the supermarket, school, perhaps visiting friends or family. When all of a sudden darkness swept in around them, blinding them to the danger and disaster that lay ahead. Friends, in an instant, they were ushered out into God's eternity without warning. Well, you do not know what lies before you. Well, you may make excuses for carrying on in the direction that you're traveling. I'm not ready yet. I've got plenty of time. Scripture tells us to boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And yet you've heard that verse time and time again. You still carry on regardless. And if you carry on in the darkness of your sin, rejecting Christ, the light of the world, then you must prepare
to face the consequences of your actions. The Lord says in Jeremiah, I will not pity nor spare nor have mercy but destroy. Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he cause darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while ye look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Friend, you've been made aware again of the danger, the destruction that darkness brings. Job speaks of the danger and the darkness when he pens the words, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Well, friend, tonight, praise God, the message of the gospel has not changed. And you can escape that blackness and darkness of hell forever. Praise God, we notice finally that in the darkness, there can be hope of delivery. There can be hope of delivery. No matter how far down sin's path you are tonight, there is a message of hope. For Christ said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In the midst of the darkness that you're in, you can come to your senses. Perhaps you will remember what you were taught as a child. Memory verses from Sunday school or children's meetings. Perhaps from the knee of a mother or a grandmother who prayed for you. I remember when we were young, if we got lost in the supermarket, we were told, now, always stay exactly where you are. If you get lost, just stay where you are and somebody will realize that you're lost and then they'll come and look for you. And if you stay where you are, you'll be easily found. Well, yes, a search party would be sent out. We began by considering the scenario of one lost in the depths of the forest in the dark of night. And now suddenly, off in the distance, there appears a man making his way through the forest with a flashlight, looking for that lost soul. Knowing that he may be able to help, you carefully make your way to him. Upon meeting the man with the flashlight, he instructs you that he is very familiar with the forest and that he is able to navigate you out of the forest and back to that place of safety. All you need to do is to trust and follow him as he shines his light for you to see the way. The question that I want to ask you this evening, would you follow that man? Would you follow the one who is able to give you light? Or would you continue to walk in the darkness, though you know that that light will lead you home? Or you could reply, yes, sir, I believe that you can get me to home. I believe that you can bring me to safety. But I don't want to follow you. Oh, I can do this on my own. I can get myself out of here. Oh, I'm not in a mess. My friend, believing what that man says will do you no good. Unless you follow him, unless you place your trust in him and follow his leading, then you are no better off. Except now that you know that there is one who knows the way. Friend, this evening, Christ announced to those around him that he was the light of the world. He told them that he could lead them out of their darkness into his glorious light. And yet many rejected the offer of salvation. The Pharisees rejected the offer of salvation, trusting in their own righteousness, trusting in their own religion, trusting in their own good works. We think of the rich young ruler who came to the Lord. The Lord told him to give up all and follow him. And he turned his back and walked away. Oh, he came and he said he wanted to know the way of salvation. I believe that young man wanted the Lord to tell him, yes, you're doing a great job. Just keep going, you'll be okay. That young man turned his back, and after seeing the light of the world, he walked away. My friend, tonight we have sought to show you the darkness of sin. We have sought to show you that Christ is the light of the world, the only way of salvation. I wonder, are you too proud to listen to the gospel message this evening? I wonder, are you afraid of what your friends will say? What your family will say? If you were to tell them that you'd come to Christ? No, you would rather remain in your darkness than be ashamed, be embarrassed. Many across our land are no different. Oh, they've all worked out by themselves. I'll do it my way, and things will work out just fine. Isaiah penned the words, "We are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousness, all our good works, everything that we do of our own efforts are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." My friend, tonight will you not come to the light of the world? Will you not come and put your trust in Christ, the only one who can bring you from darkness into light? Oh, it is our prayer that you would come this evening. The message of the gospel has not changed. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Lord continued in verse 24 of chapter 8. "I say therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." My friend, tonight, are you prepared to die in your sin? Or will you come to Christ, the light of the world? Will you seek forgiveness and place your trust in him? Amen.